If you could know one thing about the future, what would you most like to know? What is something that is going to happen that you'd like to know the exact outcome of it? I feel like there are lots of things where I think at first, I'd really like to know what's going to happen here, but then I think about it a bit more and go, actually, I'd rather not know. I mean, would I like to know the day that I was going to die? That might be helpful. And then I thought, hang on, that's not going to be very pleasant, is it? It doesn't really matter how long I have. Whatever day that I die, I'm going to spend every day between now and then worried about whether or not I'm wasting my life. Every day I'm going to wake up and go, I've only got this many hours to go. How am I going to use them well? And without doubt, I probably wouldn't use them as well as I'd wish. Then I thought, maybe I'd want to know what's going to happen to my children. How are they going to turn out? What are they going to do in their life? Will they follow Jesus? But then I'm not sure I really want to know that either, because it could be bad news. And I don't want to live every day of my life stressed about this news of knowing what is going to happen to my children. I'd just rather not know. So maybe it's just something really simple and trivial. What am I going to have for dinner tonight? It'd be nice to know that. But what if it turns out that I was going to have something that I knew I wouldn't enjoy? I'm just going to spend the rest of the afternoon pretty disappointed and not looking forward to my dinner at all. I might just eat a really big lunch instead. There's actually a lot of things that we might think we want to know about the future, but as you delve into them, you realize it's actually a blessing that we don't know a lot about our futures. The truth is that all of our futures, all the things that happen to you and I in the future, will one day become history, and they will be in the past. And we are looking this morning at the next part of Luke's Gospel in chapter 1, where we see that God is a God who controls all of history. Everything that's happened in our past, everything that will happen in our future, God is in control of all of it. We looked last week and saw that Luke goes to significant lengths to research this book that he writes. He wants us to be really confident that when we read this book, he is telling us what is true about Jesus. And the opening chapters, as we will see in the coming weeks, are full of all kinds of historical details that help us see this is a real point in history. And Luke begins his letter to Theophilus in verse 5. If you've got a Bible, have it open with you. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Luke begins with this. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, Luke doesn't start his story saying, once upon a time. No, he lists kings and priests in history. He tells us the tribes of Israel that these families descended from. Luke shows us how deeply God is connected to the history of our world. And this morning, I want to show you three things I think Luke is highlighting for us in the story that was read for us. The first is this. God controls history. I don't know how you feel about the future at the moment, but I know that many people are scared of the future. In a world where things seem to change more rapidly than ever before, with ever-increasing political tensions around the world, an expected housing market crash, and greater job uncertainty. It seems more and more of us are scared about the future. And people are desperate to know what's going to happen. How will things turn out? And this year, in the coming months, we have both a state and federal election. How will that affect us? How will our governments change? What will they do to our society? We have a relatively new senior minister. What will he change? Now, I know most of us don't like surprises. We want control and we want certainty in our lives, don't we? It's nice, it's comforting. And we look to all kinds of places to find security and safety in our future. On Friday, I was looking up what the daily horoscopes were. Let me tell you, I don't normally do this. Rest assured, here is a horoscope from Friday. I want you, as I read this, I want you to listen and think about, could this have applied to you on Friday? Okay? You may be looking forward to an evening with close friends, probably including a romantic partner. Occasions such as sporting events, movies, or concerts could be on your agenda. Activities involving children are also possible. Don't be surprised if you're inclined to sit quietly and let others do the talking. You might have a lot on your mind and need to let it stew for a while. Now, hands up if, in some way, this could have described you on Friday. Most, if not all of us, I suspect. I mean, notice how generic and vague it is. It's really non-committal. You may be looking forward to an evening with close friends. So whether or not you had an evening with close friends, this was still about you, technically. It might involve children. You might have a lot on your mind. It's not really telling us much at all, is it? It's basically saying either you're going to have an enjoyable night or you're probably a bit stressed and you should just relax. And that's about it, which is true probably of all of us. It's meant to make you feel good no matter what is happening in your life at the moment. And it's broad enough that most of us here could reasonably think this was talking about us, because there's not much detail there at all. And even as far as horoscopes go, this is only meant to apply to people born in a particular month. And yet we could all across the board think this is probably about me. I'm really surprised that horoscopes are still a thing in 2019. It's bizarre. You can make them mean whatever you want them to mean. There's really no value in them at all. Now imagine instead that this was your horoscope. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Hands up if that sounds like it could have been your horoscope this week. I mean, if that was my horoscope, I'd be like, whoa, 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 hang on a second. Firstly, my wife's name's not Elizabeth. You've got that wrong. And secondly, there's no way I'm taking my children to Israel. Not at the moment. That's not happening. Maybe what if this was your horoscope instead? You opened the magazine and read this. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Hands up if that could have been an accurate horoscope for you this week. None of us. No one's bearing the second coming of Jesus in their womb, I take it. If this was my horoscope and I read it this week, I would have thought, first of all, I'm a man. And I know the only man to have a baby was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Which is 25 years ago, by the way, just to make you feel old. Secondly, I've seen my wife deliver 3 children, and I do not think I'm missing out on anything, I can tell you that. But imagine if you are Zechariah. This is not a magazine horoscope, this is an angel with a message for you. An angel tells you all this information about your wife and son to be. Or imagine you're Mary, a young girl, still a virgin, and you were told all of this, no doubt you would be scared, wouldn't you? I mean, at the very least, you've just seen an angel. That's pretty frightening in itself. But you'd also be scared about how much they know about you and how much they tell you about your personal future. There's not much room for error in these predictions of the future, is there? This is not, you might have a nice evening and you might have a lot to think about. No, this is, you're having a baby. This will be his name. This is what he will do. This is how people will respond to him. And the angel Gabriel predicts what is a seemingly impossible pregnancy in both situations. Elizabeth, we're told, is a barren and very old woman. Mary is a virgin, not yet married. But neither of these women should be able to fall pregnant. And yet they are both promised that in the future they will bear children. These are very big statements. Very big predictions about the future. And there is no room for error here. Either your wife's name's Elizabeth or it's not. Either you will have a son named John or you won't. Either people will respond in these particular ways or they won't. There's no maybes about it. You could very easily prove that these were wrong predictions. But you can only make such big statements about the future if you control history. I want to play a little bit of a game. I know we're in the middle of a sermon. You don't have to play this if you don't wish, but if you'd like to play a bit of a game, I would love some people to stand up where they are, please. I need like a number of people to stand, so if you're able and willing. We're going to play a really simple game called Heads or Tails. Okay, I got a coin, I'm going to flip it. You're going to guess whether or not you think this is heads or tails. Okay, very simple. I'm going to make a prediction about the future here. Tom, I think you're going to win. That's my prediction. Tom is going to win this game. Okay, I'm going to have a first flip of the coin. Thank you for standing, by the way, and volunteering. Heads or tails, what do you think it will be? Heads. If you've got tails, sit down. Next coin flip, heads or tails? Heads. If you've got tails, sit down. Next one, heads or tails? Heads, sit down. What have we got? We got six left, seven left. Heads or tails? Heads. We're down to four. Heads or tails? Heads. Heads or tails? We got two of each. Tails. We're down to James and Tom. Heads or tails? You've got to pick a different one each, guys. Tails! Tom Teal Sinclair, well done. Take a seat. Aren't I amazing at my predictions? Did I just predict the future? What did I do? I cheated. Yes, I did. I had no idea what was going to happen there. And so I would make sure that things happen the way I want it. I just lied to you all. Okay? I don't normally do that, so don't stress. That's not really predicting the future, just saying, oh, I made what happened happen because I cheated in it. That's not how God controls history. God doesn't say, oh, whatever happened, that's what I wanted. No, God is in complete control of all of history. He says something will happen, he makes it happen. When he tells us this is what is going to happen, it does. But when he tells Elizabeth, or Zechariah and Elizabeth, they will have a son. When the angel tells Mary that she will bear a son, he's not guessing. He makes the impossible happen. Because God controls all of history. It is all in His hands. Not only does God control history, but as we have seen, God makes big promises. About 1,000 years before this story, God made a very big promise to King David, the greatest king in Israel's history, 1,000 years before Jesus. This is what he said. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me, and your throne will be established forever. This is one of the most significant promises of God in the Old Testament. Now have a look again at what is being said here in Luke chapter 1. If you've got a Bible, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. Now see that little detail on the end, that of the house of David. You might have thought that was fairly insignificant. But this minor detail here is actually telling us that Joseph is a descendant of David. And that suddenly becomes really important. Because 1,000 years earlier, God had promised that the Savior that he would send would be a descendant of David. And here we have a little clue that, hang on, here is another descendant of David coming. Could he be the one to fulfill this promise? Down to verse 32, we're told, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. It sounds a lot like 2 Samuel, right? Here is the one who would be the Son of the living God, who would reign forever. His kingdom will have no end. The angel Gabriel is bringing a message to Mary to say that God's promise 1,000 years ago that is about to come true today. Now, 1,000 years, that's a long time to wait. But this is a very, very big promise. This is the Savior of the world, God's King who would rescue his people. The King of an everlasting kingdom. I mean, when it's an everlasting kingdom, 1,000 years is actually not that long. God is not afraid to make big promises that shatter our expectations and that forever change our history. And of course, Jesus came and invaded our history. He entered into our world. God makes very big promises. And God keeps his promises. How does it feel when somebody makes a promise to you and then doesn't keep it? It's pretty disappointing, isn't it? You feel let down. You're not sure that you might be able to trust them again. We've probably all had that experience before in one way or another. But no doubt we've also made promises to other people that we haven't kept. Now, maybe sometimes there was good reasons for that. Something just came up and prevented you. Maybe there weren't such good reasons. But God is not like that at all. God makes these incredible promises in the Bible. And in 2 Samuel, he made promises about 1,000 years in the future. A really big promise about a king who would rescue his people. And all throughout the New Testament, Jesus makes big promises to those who would follow him. Promises of forgiveness and mercy. promises of comfort and reward, promises to hear and answer our prayers, promises that His way is the best way to live, promises of judgment, promises of eternal life for all who follow Him. And because God controls history, He can keep His promises. Nothing can stop Him. Nothing happens where God says, "Oh, I was really going to do this, but something just got in the way." It never happens. In this passage in Luke, we see that neither barrenness nor virginity can stop God's promises of children. I mean, these are seemingly impossible pregnancies. It should not have been able to happen in either case. But they are of no challenge to the God who controls history. As the angel says in verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible for God." What are the promises of God that you are holding out for right now? What are your deep longings that you were just waiting for God to meet, for an answer, for Him to keep His promise? Maybe at the moment you're carrying a sense of a burden of guilt or shame, and you're not sure whether or not you can be forgiven. Well, God has promised to forgive all who seek His forgiveness. He sent Jesus to die on a cross to confirm that to be true. He died for our sin, for all that brings guilt and shame. Believe Him. Maybe you're experiencing turmoil or distress or suffering, and you're holding out for God's promises of peace and rest. He will not fail you. He never promises to remove those things from us, but He does promise to walk with us through them. And He promises to bring us to an eternal peace and an eternal rest with Him. So depend on Him. Maybe you're craving guidance and direction in life. You're feeling lost and wondering, why has God not given you a clear sense of what you ought to do? But God has promised that His word sustains and guides us to live the way that He designed us. Listen to Him. Brothers and sisters, God controls all of history. 2,000 years ago now, He sent His Son into human history. And Jesus' arrival shows us that God always, always, always keeps His promises. And He promised that when we follow Jesus, we will find a better way of life. He promises that when we follow Jesus, we will find true comfort. We will find lasting peace, and we will find everlasting joy. We can trust Him. He knows what He is doing. He knows the best way for us to live. God controls all of history. He's made some big promises in the past. He has made some big promises for my future and yours. He has made some very big promises for all eternity. And at every point along the way, God has shown that He keeps His promises. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You have a power beyond our understanding, that You spoke this world to existence, that You shape and change all of history. We thank You that 2,000 years ago, You sent Your Son to enter into our world, to change our history, to rescue humanity. Father, we thank You that You have made many big promises and have shown Yourself always to keep them. And Father, as we continue to wait for the fulfillment of all of your promises for now and the future, please help us trust you, to know that you are infinitely able to keep your promises, and you are infinitely willing, and you will. We thank you that we can trust you in all things. Amen.